Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome to the HP Podcast, your weekly video game podcast about video games. That's redundant. Damn it. I'm Ben. With me here today is Dave.
Hey, did you do that on purpose?
No, I saw Brandon about the hiccup, and so I immediately went to you instead.
Right. Yeah. Thoughts and prayers for Brandon. He's got the hiccups right now.
Yeah, so, the hiccup machine. Also, you're on the left side of my screen, so that just like naturally made more sense to me because I think from left to right because I'm from America.
Well, it feels good. It feels good to be the first intro. Now I know I've spent a day in the life of Brandon's shoes. So
the crown is nice. Heavy, Dave.
You need way more weed to do that. and of course, Brandon, the hiccup machine. How's it
what
going?
Is up, man? I'm doing okay aside from the hiccups. I wish I could say I did that on purpose, but I didn't. So my body is failing me currently. I'm having a spasm of my diaphragm and there's no controlling it.
Have you tried licking your dog? I've heard that helps.
I'm not doing that. But no, I've not tried that. She's very, very nicely looking out the window right now. I wouldn't want to disturb her with my tongue.
Okay, so, fair enough.
I'm doing okay aside from that. A little bit hungry. The lady is bringing me home some food from a local Mexican cuisine restaurant. I'm very, very excited to do that after this. But aside from that, I'm just excited to talk about some games.
So. Sorry, back up to the hiccuping thing. I don't want to harp on this, but I do have the cure. And I'm serious. This has worked for me several times. And you don't have to lick a dog at all.
I made that up, by the way, just in case the audience was wondering.
They might try it. So
somebody paused the podcast and ran and grabbed their Yorkie and was just like,
all caps, it didn't work.
Dude, they're a little bit too excited to lick the dog.
But the cure that's worked for me on several occasions is you just constantly swallow for like a minute straight. You just swallow, and they'll go away.
You don't know how to practice with that, Dave? Or
Well, I've had hiccups before, and it's just you just sit there and swallow, and then they go away. You don't have to do it now, but just in general, that's excellent. It's worked for me many times.
Yeah, good.
I don't often do this at the top of the show because I forget is the real reason. But remember, we have a Patreon. You can go over and support us there. Patreon.com/handsomephantom. As little as $1 a month. That's like less than 25 cents an episode. Generally, you can get ad-free early access to the show. And then, of course, for free or for paid, you can come and join our Discord over at handsomephantom.com/discord. We appreciate it. We like having you guys there. I wanted to start off with an anecdote, or not really yet. I guess it's not a story. About an hour ago, I got in my car and drove to Dustin's house where we record in the studio before remembering that he was not in town and we would not be recording there. So that's how my day has gone so far.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a thing I did. And it was funny because I was talking to Dustin about him not being home like an hour before that. So.
It's muscle memory. You guys have been doing the show for years and years and years. So it's not surprising that something
like
that.
What are we at? Like 177 ish episodes.
Damn.
Literally every Tuesday or Wednesday. Sometimes I've been getting in the car, going over there. So
yeah, dude.
Anyway, let's talk about some video games. Let's start off. Of course, we had some big doozy boys of some shows this past week. It is technically what E3 week would usually be. Of course, we don't have E3 this year. Maybe never again. We'll see. But we had the Summer Game Fest with Jeff Keighley looking suave as usual. Did you guys, I assume you guys both got to watch the show or at least have been able to catch up with all the news and everything since then?
Yep.
Yeah, I caught some of it live, but I've caught up via other ways as well. So
Nice. Okay, so I've sent you guys some links to some sites, and I basically just want to go down through, and I don't think we need to talk about every single one because, frankly, we don't have anything to talk about with every single one, but there's a few we definitely want to get through. Dave, since you know you've been getting shafted lately, let's let you and swallowing a lot. Let's let you take first pick on which game we start off talking about.
I'd like to start with Redfall.
Okay, let's do it.
So the reason I'm interested in Redfall is because I think Arkane is a really interesting studio, and I guess this is Arkane Austin, so it's a bit of an offshoot. But yeah, Back 4 Blood came out this past fall or whenever it was, and didn't really click for me. So when I saw Redfall, I think it was announced last year, I was kind of like, there's not much really to sink your teeth into. It wasn't a gameplay trailer or something, but I think switching it up from like zombies or whatever they were called in Back 4 Blood to like vampires, plus like the style they're going with Redfall kind of piqued my interest. And now that we've actually seen gameplay, like, this looks really, really cool.
Yeah.
I've been looking for a lot more co-op games to play, so it's got that. But, you know, they stress pretty strongly that you don't need to play this game co-op. You can play it solo.
Sure.
I think the style is really cool. The shooting looks really, really tight. I think the humor looks just about right. Like, it's not going to hit you over the head, but at the same time, it's going to give you enough to give you some campy smiles and laughs and stuff. So,
yeah.
I think the only thing that disappointed me was I, for some reason, thought this game was coming this year, but we're not going to get it until early 2023, probably. So, yeah, I mean, day one Game Pass, that's going to be great. And, yeah, I really came away from the Xbox show really looking forward to Redfall. So I'm curious to see what you guys think about it.
Nice. So, yeah, we'll go ahead, Brandon.
Honestly, I'm pretty excited about it as well. Last year, we just saw some cinematic, and I thought the idea of the cinematic was really great. But naturally, I can't be too excited about just a cinematic. We got to see some proof of concept. But
that's right.
I think we've really seen that. I think that Dave hit it on the head that this is a co-op game, and I'm always looking for new co-op games and a first-person shooter co-op game at that. So that's kind of exactly my wheelhouse. No, I think it looks great, and I think how they're doing it with the powers, and I don't know, I just really can see a co-op group activity coming into this, and I'm hoping the NPCs, you said that you didn't need to play single player, but I'm hoping the NPCs really feel like real people. I'm hoping that's like a main focus here, but yeah, I'm pretty much just echoing what Dave said. This was one that I was excited about before, and now that I've actually seen some proof of concept, I think now I'm locked in, and day one Game Pass, how could you argue with that? I was talking before the show how I need a reason to play my Xbox right now, and it looks like whether that be towards the end of the year or next year, I'm going to finally get some new stuff. I was surprised.
Sure.
I know we're going to talk more about the Microsoft showcase, but it actually left me pretty surprised this time, and I typically don't necessarily feel that way. So,
yeah, the only thing I really have to add to what you guys said is I've enjoyed everything I've played from Arkane. I haven't played all of Arkane's games, to my shame, but everything I've played has been good. I really hope they continue to deliver on that, because this is definitely a different style of game for them. And I'm thinking they've got the chops to do it, but we'll see. I'm also thinking this is probably more of like a lean into a kind of game that will probably sell better, because as good as Arkane's games have been in the past, and I know a lot of people did like Deathloop, but a lot of people didn't like it too. They haven't hit commercially as well as I think they should have. And so I'm hoping that like we can get Arkane, we can still get that DNA of theirs in there, but that we'll have a more whole product, as it were.
Yeah.
That will be successful and enable them to do those more niche things too in the future.
Well, yeah, dude. I mean, a lot of their games have been so narrative focused in the past that the fact that they have something that's, you know, leaning into a little bit more of the multiplayer social gaming aspect, that might be the mass appeal right there. The other thing I got to mention about this game is, you know, I mentioned I was a little disappointed that it wasn't coming this year, but I know the trailer they showed was, you know, chopped up, heavily edited, all that kind of stuff. But the fact that we saw that much of the game and it was pure gameplay with like a solid 8 to 10 months of development left is also pretty promising. So
yeah.
I think that's another reason why I was like, this this could be a good one. This could be really good. So
yeah, right. No. And from what Ben said, I mean, Deathloop didn't hit with everybody. I really liked it personally, but it showed that, you know, previously they had been very much about the powers and the knives, right? Because that was Dishonored. And they proved in Deathloop, the shooting mechanics were really solid, like actually genuinely solid. So I'm hoping some of that DNA kind of transfers over. It looks like it's going to be a similar feel. So I think a combination between the past and what we see now, it's just going to, I'm having good feelings. So yeah. And I'm very, very keen to feel negatively about things. So right. The fact that I have a good feeling is definitely sitting well with me. So
just on that, like, I don't know if I'm reading into this too much, but do you think this is part of, you know, the Microsoft acquisition showing its teeth a little bit? Because yeah. As we just kind of mentioned, like, Arkane in the past have had very narrative driven games. None of them really hit too well. Is this the first time we're seeing Microsoft saying, we're going to buy you, we're going to support you, but you got to try something first that's going to have long-term teeth yeah. and maybe sell a little bit well and attract a little bit more from day one?
Sharp pointy teeth.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's possible, Dave, and I think maybe they told them to lean into it more, but there's certainly started development on this game before the acquisition and probably before the people involved with this game even knew the acquisition was a thing. Like, I'm sure the people at the top knew it was a thing long before that, or a possibility. But I would say that most likely they started on this path before that. I think that's a better thing than Microsoft forcing it on them, because if it needs to be a project they want to do to be good. Just liking a project doesn't make it good, but a project that's mid can be better because people enjoy working on it. So
right.
I think you're probably right that we will see that kind of thing more as we go. And we know that, like, there have been games that have come to Game Pass that didn't include co-op. And then Microsoft was like, hey, have you thought about putting co-op in this? We'll pay you more. Now with their own teams, I'm sure they're even more, you know, in that way, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Since, okay, so I said we'll start talking about Summer Game Fest, and we immediately launched into Bethesda, or Xbox and Bethesda. So we can do, basically, just take your pick of anything from the Summer Game Fest, the Bethesda Showcase, whatever you want to do. Feel free, Brandon, you're up next to talk about whatever you please.
Yeah. And so this kind of ties into what I had spoken about before. Not exactly, but I'm seeing a lot of parallels drawn. Did you guys get a chance to catch the Starfield
stuff? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I honestly think it looks pretty good. But I don't know. After playing a lot of No Man's Sky recently, you know, 30, 40 hours, it kind of looks like they took No Man's Sky and just put like a shitty sepia filter on it because everything is so much less colorful. I don't know how to describe it. It almost seems like a mod for the game I'm already playing. And I know it's probably way more than that. And the combat genuinely looks better. I will say that if it has Fallout-esque combat, they've been getting better progressively from 3 and 4. We're fine. And I'd imagine it'd be even better yet. But I don't know. It's not an original idea to compare this to No Man's Sky, because I've seen it literally everywhere on the internet. But it's for a reason. As I've recently played a lot of No Man's Sky, it is giving me many, many feels. So I'm interested to see how it's going to differentiate itself. We get the classic Todd Howard, it just works. And he pretty much said there's going to be thousands of explorable unique planets, or whatever the fuck he said. So
yeah,
I'm not going to hold my breath. And he's definitely trolled before. You know, with it just works. So
whether intentionally or not.
Right. Yeah. So, but I don't know. I'm not sold on it, but obviously Game Pass day one. I mean, a lot of these things are literally no brainers for me at this point. And I'm going to try them regardless. And that's the absolute beauty of Game Pass, because I don't even know if I'm going to like this game, but I'm sure as shit going to try it now. So sure. I didn't know what you guys thought about it. Ben, you said more recently, I don't want to spoil what you've been playing, but you popped into No Man's Sky. Did you see anything in that trailer that made you think or interest you in any way?
So I was already talking to you about playing some No Man's Sky, and then my buddy Justin's been playing it he hasn't been playing it recently, but he's encouraged me to get into it in the past. And it's not that I didn't want to. I mean, I played like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours way back when on PS4, but then I, you know, totally quit. Right. But I just thought this is now this trailer has reinvigorated me to want to check it out, because I remember liking little distinct points of it at the very first. So yeah, I definitely think so. I think it does look somewhat like No Man's Sky, but I think that's a probably an oversimplification. I hope it's an oversimplification that a lot of people are making, because it does seem like the game's going to have a lot more to it. There's certainly some aspects they straight up ripped off of it. I mean, I'm sure they had this, again, they had this in development before No Man's Sky even came out, but they definitely have borrowed some ideas since then, you know, improved on them, hopefully. I'm a little worried about the frame rate, but of course it's still, you know, however far out, so I'm not too worried about that. And I think that it's okay now. I'm now, like, as close to as I get to being excited, I'm now excited about Starfield. I was so confused at everybody freaking out. Oh, Starfield's going to be so great. And I'm like, you don't even know what it is yet. Right. You just know who's making it, and then it's about space.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, okay. And we see some ship combat, and we saw the guns. I didn't think the guns performed particularly well. I thought the space combat looked kind of shitty. But again, we just saw very small snippets, and I don't want to judge the whole game based on that. But Dave, what about you? I know you've been kind of a little bit excited for Starfield.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly understand the hype, and I think it's warranted. I mean, we're getting you know, a massive developer such as Bethesda, who spent so much time in the Elder Scrolls and Fallout universes, and, you know, with sort of varying degrees of success over the past decade, that, you know, people are excited for them to see something a little bit different. So I'm totally understanding of the hype. I knew that trailer, whatever it ended up being, was going to be met with a lot of, in my opinion, unjust criticism, because this isn't a finished product. And the No Man's Sky stuff is a bit silly to me, because it's just like, I feel like if they didn't have that one shot of the guy mining, like, people wouldn't have been talking about this. But I guess the only thing that kind of concerns me is the scope, because, again, what, you know, we talk about some of Bethesda's previous projects and the state in which they launch, and Todd Howard did not show or describe a focus game on the weekend. This was something that's going to be massive. And, you know, at the very end, he said, you know, there's going to be 1,000 planets, and you can go to all of them. And it's not like they're little regions that are mapped out. It's like the entire thing. But then nobody talked about procedural generation or anything like that. So it's like, number one, how is this going to be done? Like, how big is this fucking game going to be?
Right.
And number two, you know, how much is actually going to be there? So I'm a little concerned about the size of this game. You know, we don't necessarily need a massive, massive, massive RPG to have a good RPG. You know, a lot of people won't agree with me on this, but a little game from Spiders, which I can't even remember off the top of my head right now. Greedfall, that's it. That was a small focused RPG, and it's one of the best experiences I've had in a long time. So it doesn't need to be massive and sprawling. And I personally think Bethesda could have benefited from maybe having something that's a little bit more focused. But I guess when you're doing a space opera, it's kind of difficult to do that. But as Brandon said, it's going to be day one Game Pass. The risk is going to be zero if you're a Game Pass subscriber. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they come out with, and I think the hype is warranted. So we'll keep a close eye on this one for sure.
I'm about the planet thing. You know, you said there's gonna be 1,000 planets or whatever, and I have no doubt that's the case. I'm wondering if they just like spit out, you know, 990 planets that are, you can go there and gather resources and whatever, but only like 10 of them actually, and then there's like 10 more that are actually like hubs or civilized or whatever.
Right.
That'd be my guess, but I don't have any obviously way of knowing that. So we'll see. Another news in that vein, Todd Howard was on Unlocked today. I think it was on Unlocked, and said that Fallout 5 is for sure coming after Elder Scrolls 6, which Elder Scrolls 6 is coming after Starfield. I think we already knew that at some point, but I don't remember for sure. But either way, like, duh, of course they're going to make another Fallout game eventually. Like, that's clear. But aside from the point. Okay, for my first up, and I guess it's not really my first up, it's just we're taking turns introducing them. But I just want to talk about the fact that Summer Game Fest, they revealed the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles release date, which is, wait, is that
Thursday?
So 2 days from now.
No shit.
And the Shredder's Revenge, you know, stuff, the package, I guess you could say. I think it's going to be phenomenal. I think anybody in within their right minds is going to want to play as Casey Jones, which they also revealed is going to be there first. I just think that, like, I have so much love for the TMNT games, and I'm just like such a big fan that I'm really excited to check this out. And on Game Pass, day one. And like, I don't know, it's just gonna be so much fun. And it breeds that mold, or it falls into that mold of co-op multiplayer games on Game Pass. And it just, it's a very obvious pickup for them, for me.
Yeah, I think that's really a winning formula. We've talked about it before for Game Pass. I wouldn't be surprised if we see more and more games co-op. And I have always said more games co-op is good. Yeah. And so, you know, something that's great about this Xbox showcase is, was there anything that wasn't going to be day one Game Pass? Like
at the showcase, I think there might've been one or two games. I don't think they announced Diablo 4 for Game Pass, which I'll definitely be talking about later.
Ooh.
And, I don't think they announced that, but you have to imagine if the Activision deal goes through before it comes out,
right?
You know, or even shortly thereafter, it's going to be on Game Pass as soon as they have the ability to do so.
But no, I mean, honestly, props to Xbox, because this sort of standing that you have whenever you can just instantly say, if you have our service, this is something that the new PlayStation Plus subscription will not have and probably maybe will never have. How exciting is this? If I didn't have an Xbox and I saw all these announcements, I probably would have went to buy my Xbox. I'm serious. Yeah. Yeah. Because I can spend $15, try out any single game that I've seen on this whole showcase practically.
You can actually spend $10.
Well,
because you're the ultimate for your Xbox.
Exactly. Well, yeah. If I went live, but
oh, that's true. Yeah. Good point. I forgot that's still a thing in the antiquated world.
Right. But no, I just want to speak to the value right now. And we've talked time and time again about the value, but like now this shit's actually coming out. It is really, really good, because I was down for a little bit after Halo and after I fell off on my Xbox. I just scrounging for things to play. And sure, there's things on Game Pass, but there's something about these new titles that, like, the fact that you know you can play it and you don't have to spend full price to even try it. So It's fantastic.
For sure. Dave, TMNT hype?
Big time. And I hope they still have that thing where like only one person can grab the pizza, and like your dickhead friend is on like 80% health and you're on like 30 and he grabs the pizza and you get in a fight over it.
By the way, that's Brandon.
I've never really played Brandon? This game, boys. Well, I've never played this game.
But you're the guy who will hog the loot, so it'd be you.
Yeah, non-shareable loot kills friendships.
You gotta be quicker than that, buddy.
Yeah, but I just to reinforce what Brandon kind of said about the overall show and like that catalog of games for PlayStation Plus Premium, it's out in the wild. If it's official now, and in my mind, it's better than what Game Pass has ever had. But what Game Pass still has, and it will have for a long, long time, as Brandon said, is that day one available on Game Pass. And Sony hasn't showed a willingness to do that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to see value in that as long as we keep getting that. And they've been doing this for like 3 years now, where like every game they're announcing at these shows is like day one Game Pass. So,
right.
You know, for small little titles like this to be on there that are quick to pick up and play, it's just that barrier's gone. But
and yeah, the crazy thing is this game would have sold fine without that.
Yep. Oh, yeah, dude. Big time. Now it's going to do even better. I mean, imagine this in high school, though. You know, all of your boys have Game Pass, right? Imagine if this was the thing, how fucking amazing this would have been to be able to just pop on and co-op. Everyone has it if you have Game Pass.
Sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. I was too busy lifting weights and going on dates in high school.
So okay.
All right. I play video games in high school. Dave, you're next up. Talk about your next pick.
Speaking of lifting weights and going on dates, I'd like to talk about Modern Warfare 2.
Okay.
I've always been confused because if memory serves correctly, the Call of Duty games, like from recent memory, are always announced, like they'll announce like the title or it'll get leaked or something. And then the first actual reveal is all campaign.
Yeah.
And I've always found that weird because I'm like, what keeps people hooked on these games is the multiplayer. So I've always kind of wondered why they don't lead with that and then give us a little bit of campaign later. I get that.
It's too twitchy.
I could tell you why, though, is because I've seen about a million videos. First of all, they're keeping their best card in their hand, right? Obviously. Second of all, I've seen about a million videos of, look at this list of every single gun that was in this campaign. Will this now be in multiplayer? You build the speculation for themselves. I mean, it creates itself.
That's fair. But I got to build on the point is like, I'm all in on Modern Warfare. I assume most of us are.
Dude.
A lot of people were sort of ho-hum on Cold War and Vanguard. So going back to Infinity Ward with Modern Warfare, which is a proven formula that everybody wants. But I kind of like the campaign stuff that they showed was a little underwhelming. I think the biggest thing about that was like this like they have this like real these water physics that are actually reacting in real time. So they showed this scene where, you know, they were on this tanker ship and like cover was actually moving.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. But I mean, I feel like we've seen like sort of the heavy hitters from like the Call of Duty campaigns, and it's maybe they're running out of ideas. Cause you know, we've done the ship thing before. The plane stuff was really cool. Obviously the Chernobyl stuff. And I just kind of felt like, you know, my expectations might be a little bit low for the campaign because what they showed wasn't super impressive. Like, it looked great and all that, but yeah, I don't know. I just, it also got me thinking about the multiplayer thing, but Brandon, you make a good point. But either way, it didn't change my feelings about Modern Warfare. I'll be there on day one, but I kind of wanted a little bit more from the first real campaign reveal. I want Michael Bay. I want big explosions. I want something fucking crazy. And
sure,
I didn't really get that too much. So
yeah, no.
Brandon, what are your feelings?
I'm with you, Dave. I will preface saying I'm going to buy this as well, but I think what they showed was actually kind of fucking lame. You know, in quotes, water physics. You mean you program the boat to rock back? You know, they make it seem in a way that I don't know that's 100% true, but. Nonetheless, I don't know how dynamic it could possibly be if it just goes from one side to the other. Like, I'll be interested to actually see if it's actually dynamic or it's just whatever. But I am kind of with you, Dave. I was underwhelmed. I don't think that it even looked that great, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. But the heart of the issue here for me is the multiplayer. And so they could have showed me nothing. And I probably would have been happy with that. I don't think the multiplayer lends well to previewing. But yeah, I don't know. I was underwhelmed, but I'm sold nonetheless. Call me a sucker.
You're a sucker.
But yeah, well, I mean, I am. Yeah. I've bought in so many of their games, even the shit ones. So, but yeah, it's really exciting. I'm glad to see some new characters back. I think the whole goal, and they had to toe the line between showing us something new and making us nostalgia bait. They obviously showed us the ship just like before. I mean, they pulled out the shotgun that was in the Modern Warfare campaign when you're on the boat. Like, I get it. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to reinvigorate the community. But I was underwhelmed. And I guess that's okay because I'm still going to buy it. So they don't really care if I'm underwhelmed, if I'm paying the money. But I guess that's my thoughts, man. I'm just excited to not be holding old ass weapons again. That's not fun to me. I don't care about this Mosin Nagant. You know, I want to hold an MP5. So
you get the Mozambique from Apex. You know?
Jesus Christ!
whatever you said there reminded me of that.
That's actually not dog shit anymore, from what I understand.
Oh, it used to be. It was so bad.
Yeah,
Brandon, you're next up. Let's go.
Oh, geez. So. I don't know that I'm really excited for this necessarily. I just have history with the series. I feel like whenever Arc 2 got announced, I strayed away from it because Vin Diesel kind of repulses me in many ways for many reasons. But I really hope they don't lean into that. I saw something today, which I cannot confirm, unfortunately. I don't know if Ian saw it, but potentially Dark Souls-esque combat.
Oh, I did not see that.
Okay. I don't know if that was a leak, if it was speculation. Honestly, I probably just caught it on my lunch, so I didn't really look too much into it. But if that's the case, I find this game incredibly interesting. I think dinosaurs are rad, and when you could ride them and fuck shit up, that's even better.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. But.
Well, you know, either which way we cut it here, I think it's going to be cool. And I'm excited to see how they're going to build upon something they've already made, because they had a really solid foundation. And I did play for quite a bit. It's not really very fun by yourself. That's kind of why I stopped. But
the game's great, except it sucks.
Well, yeah. But no, I've always been into these crafting type games. And, you know, whenever you add a beautiful landscape and dinosaurs, it's kind of a winning formula in my book. But a welcome change to the combat would be good. I think the combat was incredibly lacking in the last game. And as long as we don't get too much Vinny boy, I'm going to be pretty happy. So
nice. Dave, any interest in Ark?
No. And honestly, the Vin Diesel thing makes me less interested in it. I don't know why. I mean, I guess we're talking about it because of Vin Diesel, and a lot of people are. So maybe that's why they decided to bring him in as the spokesperson of the sequel. But Yeah, I mean, if Brandon told me he was interested, I'd probably be more keen to pick it up rather than, hey, Vin Diesel is associated with this game. So,
right.
Yeah, not super high on my radar.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right, well, then we'll move on to the next game. And let's go ahead and get it over with. Let's talk about Diablo 4.
Hey.
I know that this is one Brandon's going to play. Dave, are you a Diablo vet?
Yeah. I mean, I picked it up in Diablo 3. I didn't play a whole lot, but okay. I will definitely be playing Diablo 4.
Nice. Okay, so we've got, you know, they said this showcase was all about games that are coming in the next 12 months. Diablo 4 was in there. They only gave a 2023 release date, so we don't know. And of course, delays can happen. But, you know, all it takes for me is seeing a new Diablo game, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
Hell, I saw that Diablo 2 was coming out remastered, and it got me excited then. So I'm just, I've been playing Diablo 1 for literally 25 years, or I'm sorry, I've been playing Diablo, the series, for 25 years. I started playing the first Diablo right after it came out. I don't think I was allowed to, but I played it at a friend's house, and they revealed, you know, a necromancer class, which is, of course, very welcome. I'm just very excited. It does seem to be like they're going to be targeting more like open world, which I'm interested to see how that'll work in Diablo. I'm open to it for sure, because there's a lot of games that, you know, people thought wouldn't make good open world games, and they did. Elden Ring, you know, nobody thought From would ever do an open world game, and then they did, and it was like all anybody could talk about for what are we on, like 4 months straight now. So that doesn't concern me too much, but I'm curious. What do you guys think about Diablo 4? What do you think about what we saw there?
Honestly,
go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, honestly, I'm fucking excited. I will say that. I will preface saying I got into the series on 3, Diablo 3.
Right.
So that's
most people did.
Yeah. So that is the majority of my experience. I will say I wasn't even excited for 2 to be remastered. It was hard for me to go back. I tried it out, which is fine. I understand the roots. But I'm very, very, very excited. The Necromancer was one of my favorite classes from 3. They added it late, but it was, like Ben said, a much desired addition. So I think this just takes everything that Diablo 3 did and seems to be just pushing up the ante a little bit. I'm a little bit discouraged by Immortals. Is that what it's called? Diablo Immortals?
Yeah.
Immortal. I'm a little discouraged by that. I hope we don't get some trickle down, even if it's not the exact same. I'm hoping we don't get some of the divisive sales tactics potentially that we got on Immortal. And I know it's a phone game and free to play, but it just does concern me a little bit because
I've
it's
been
in
playing
the realm.
On PC for what it's worth. But yeah, okay. It is a phone game. It's definitely a phone game on PC.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. I think that Immortal kind of tampered my expectations a little bit, but I'm willing to not even consider that a Diablo game. I'm willing to just skip it in my memory if it means that Diablo 4 will be golden in my eyes. So I'm looking forward to it. And what do you think of Dave?
I thought it looked fantastic, and it doesn't feel like it's been that long since Diablo 3. And it's, I always find that these isometric, like three-quarter games, it's kind of tough to focus on or nail the visuals just because, you know, you're not super in close or detailed, but I thought what they showed initially just struck me as this is a really, really good looking game. And I went back and I kind of watched a little bit more Diablo 3, and I've actually just got it on Twitch in front of me here, and it's a big leap.
Yeah.
It's like a big leap. So, I mean, that's what really caught me first. And I know the reveal, there was a lot of like cinematics and stuff, but I like that they spent a lot of time on the gameplay. And you sort of got a sense of like how the game would react to you moving out in the world. I think they showed like an open world event at one point and like a massive like boss jumped out and the camera actually panned out a bit. So the way that they're playing around with the camera to sort of mess with scale, I thought was really cool. But I'm really looking forward to seeing how this game sort of functions in that open world with the other players who are in your instance. Because it will be really cool to just kind of run around and then you run around and run into another player. So, I mean, this is sort of, are they pushing into sort of that MMO sphere a little bit? Because, you know, we know this game is going to have a really long lifetime. So, yeah, I was really impressed. I'm like Brandon. I kind of got into series in 3. It didn't play a whole lot of it, but it looks really, really cool. Just hopefully they don't fuck it up with the economy again.
I'm sure they'll have some sort of battle pass and there'll be something you can buy, but I think that one of the developers said like, this is going to be a fully, you know, you're going to purchase this game and you're going to play it without having to buy anything. Anything you can buy will be for fun, basically, like not for gameplay wise. So
could we see PvP? That's true.
I think we'll see PvP. I think they confirmed PvP, actually.
Did they? Because I know it's on Immortal. It's like outlandish on Immortal, though. It's like 3 hours a week. I'm serious.
What?
I'm serious. Look it up. I'm pretty sure I saw Asmogold, the streamer, talking about how it's like from 6 to 8 or something on Fridays or something. Completely stupid. I didn't know that. Like that.
Yeah. All right, Dave, we're back to you.
So I would like to talk about Forza Motorsport.
Ooh, dude, that was... Boy. Yes. Yes. And then off of that, we'll also talk about... Horizon briefly.
I don't know if this game is coming out in the next 12 months. I know they said it would based on it being in the show. We obviously knew about this game before, but this is the first time we got like an extended look at it. So it looks fantastic. It looks really, really good. And I mean, I think that's always been the MO of these racing games like Gran Turismo and Forza and even the Project Cars series is how good can we make these cars? But they really taken it a step further in, you know, they took a close look inside like engine bays and stuff. And just to see how detailed like the interiors of these cars, both in the engine compartment as well as inside the actual cars was pretty impressive. I do know that Forza Motorsport has a bit of goodwill to gain back in like the really dedicated racing community, because with the last entry in the series, it certainly fell off a bit. So I hope they're not focusing too much on how great this game looks with ray tracing 4K on the next generation of consoles, because they need to spend a little bit more time focusing on how this is going to be a smash hit with the long running like motorsport community. And they talked about stuff like fuel management and tire degradation. So, I mean, that's all part of motorsport. It's not just racing. So I think they are taking steps in the right direction. I think now that we're a couple months removed from the release of Gran Turismo 7, there is potentially an opportunity for them here to gain some ground back.
Sure.
Because, you know, things are a bit weird there. So, yeah, I think...
Yeah, they didn't have the best showing ever.
Yeah, and you know, this might be a shot for them to gain some ground back. So, Forza Motorsport's looking pretty good. But again, I hope they don't just focus on the looks, because it needs a lot more than that. So,
right.
Ben, what did you think?
I have never been a motorsport person, and I probably still won't be. But with Game Pass now, I can try it. I'm not as much into the Sims as I am into the arcadey ones. But that said, like everything they showed about it was immaculate. It was amazing. I haven't played like Gran Turismo since early on, but I've always been very fascinated with watching it and watching other people play it. I think I'm just not skilled enough, quite frankly. I think I need a wheel, because any games I've ever played with a wheel, I've been like, I feel like I'm okay at this. If I play with a controller, I'm like, I'm totally trash at this. So I think it looks phenomenal. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And the fact that they said real-time ray tracing too is just like a flex and a half, in my opinion.
Well, dude. Anytime Ben talks about racing sims, I'll never forget the day we got a copy of Assetto Corsa.
Oh my god!
And he was streaming it, and as he's streaming it, there's this guy in the chat who's talking to him like, "Hey, you should try this." Like, he's being super nice about it, and Ben was like talking to the guy, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I coach people to play this game for a living." We're like, holy shit, that's incredible.
That's amazing.
The fact that the game needs someone to coach them to play it enough to sustain a living, Right. Like, no. Right. But yeah, that game, I got it. Like, they just sent it to us. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to stream this. You know, it seems like good. Sure. And then I realized this is a sim. And it's not only a sim, it's one of the most in-depth sims there is.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that before I started playing it. And then I was like, okay, well, that's how this is going to go.
Right. Right.
Brandon, no. You're more of a racing guy.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm like you, Ben. I do gravitate traditionally towards the non-track based racing games. I think that they do have something to prove, as Dave mentioned, on the tails of GT. I think real-time ray tracing is something that GT does not have.
Right.
It has ray tracing, but it does not have real-time ray tracing. You can only look at it in the photos or in the replays. So right. I feel like that's a huge functionality that actually I wish was in all of GT. So I think that I'm with Dave, maybe not focus 100% on that, but I think they're kind of making a statement here. So I think they realize what position they're in. And I personally have gravitated towards Forza more than Gran Turismo in the past. So yeah. I'm always rooting for them. I do feel like it's kind of soon, even though this is traditionally when it would be out. It just feels soon to me, I guess. But on the back of that, I guess we could also kind of talk about the Forza Horizon DLC, which also got announced. So, Dave, did you ever check out any of the DLCs in any of the previous games? I checked out the Hot Wheels game in the last one, and it was pure fun, man. It was just insanely fun, and it looks like they've taken the ante and just put it through the roof on this one.
Yeah, and I love that they're having fun with this, because this was already a fun game, but anytime you can tack on something like this that is sort of takes it up to 11, but also is like kind of a unique idea.
Right.
Is pretty cool. I haven't checked out the DLCs in the past, but it's definitely looking cool. I like what they're doing with it.
And people were like shitting on this, like, oh, why do we care about more Forza Horizon stuff? And I'm like, do you have any idea how much money this will make them? Like, well, the Hot Wheels as a brand is not just popular amongst children. It's huge. And putting Hot Wheels in Forza last time, everybody was like, neh. And then once it came out, everybody was like, that's amazing. And I can't imagine why this one wouldn't be just as amazing, if not obviously better.
Right. And I mean, I don't want to say all of my love for vehicles has come from like Matchbox cars and Hot Wheels, but they really tapped into this, because I feel like there's a part of me, like the child inside me who was playing with Matchboxes, that now loves to play these games. So I feel like it just works really, really well. So
indeed. Next up, Brandon.
Am I up?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn, I wasn't even prepared.
That's all right. Well, I'll go ahead and talk about just one big announcement then while you figure out your next game. Just that we saw at Summer Game Fest, and that was that they are indeed bringing The Last of Us Part 1 remake later this year. And I just want to say, screw you, Sony. Like, I'm sure the game is going to look great. It's going to be great. Everything's going to be awesome about it. But just the fact that they're putting out a remake of a remaster, and they're going to charge $70 for it. And I get it. They're bringing it to PS5. They're going to introduce people who are going to watch the HBO show. Like, I understand the reasons for it on a business level. I think it's probably actually a smart move. But I just can't see myself paying $70 for a game I've already bought twice and played twice and just am ready to be like, I'm done with it. Like, I've experienced it. Right. All that said, I'm probably going to buy it. Dave, what about you?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to buy it. I'm glad this came out. Like, I think this was leaked last year. We probably talked about it when it was leaked, and we're like, there's no way this can't be true. This is ridiculous. But you know, it's true. I think the thing that obsessed me about it the most is I wish there were resources that could have been used, that are being used for this, that could have been used to make something else cool, like even a DLC. I don't know, but
yeah.
I've come to the realization that I don't think this is for us. I think this is, and you kind of alluded to it there, Ben, they're moving into new territory with the HBO stuff. There's a lot of people who are going to have PlayStation 5s who maybe didn't have one before, and this is a way for them to play full price for a game and get the best experience possible and start the series from square one.
And so, it will include the DLC.
Yeah.
You know, for people who have never played it at all.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that it came out of Summer Games Fest. Cause again, why can't we hear about God of War and not this? So,
right.
But I'm I'm just assuming it's not for me and moving on from there. I will not buy it because it's they don't need my money for that.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously.
I don't think I'll buy it day one, but probably when it hits like $40 or something, I'll probably end up buying it. But I just, that's probably going to be like a game time decision, honestly, because like, again, unless I find out like, oh, there's something they dramatically changed or something like that, I just can't imagine buying it again. But I almost feel like it's a compliment to God of War that it wasn't shown there, because that means we're probably going to get it like at some point, it's going to get its own event to show the game off. And so like in that sense, I'm excited that they didn't show it, because I wouldn't have liked a reveal like there was for, and granted it leaked ahead of time, but I wouldn't have liked a reveal like there was for The Last of Us Remake, because it seemed kind of lame. Not only because of the game it was lame, but just like the announcement of it was kind of boring. So I'm hoping that that means we'll get like a full on state of play or something similar for God of War. But Brandon, sorry, you were trying to say something there.
I don't even remember, man. It's okay.
Okay. All right. Are you going to play The Last of Us Remake?
Oh, fuck no.
Okay, cool.
And actually what I was going to say is I just can't believe that they haven't even offered some sort of solution for people who have already bought it potentially twice. Like there's, to my knowledge and from what you've said, there's not even an option. It's just you buy it or you don't, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
Which I understand, because like when they did the remakes of like the Resident Evil games, they didn't offer like if you bought RE2 back in whatever year, you're, you know, get $10. Like I understand it. It is a new game. It's just not a game for me or you guys.
Right. So yeah. No, I'm with you there. I feel like we've honestly talked about a lot of the things that I'm interested in. Kind of not much to talk about here, but I find it interesting that Kojima is working with Microsoft.
Yeah, I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know much about the project. I don't think anybody does. It's called Overdose. But anything this man touches, I'm interested in. He has such a creative and inventive mind. And I wonder if it's going to be completely different. I'm assuming it probably will be, but I'm glad to see some love on the Microsoft side. At one point we had discussed whether we thought that maybe Kojima Studios was going to get bought by PlayStation or Sony, but I'm actually glad that that's not the case. And I guess I could say that having both consoles, but I think it's just better for everybody. So we got Death Stranding and I can't wait to see what he makes next.
Yeah. I think it's huge for the Xbox ecosystem, because they've not had, at least at launch that I can remember, they haven't had a Kojima game in a long time, if ever. Maybe one of the Metal Gears 2 or 3 was on there at launch. I don't remember for sure. But I don't think this game is going to be Overdose, but I do think Overdose is another thing. So I think, and they even, Kojima Studios even clarified that they're they're working still with PlayStation and with Xbox. So,
gotcha.
I don't know if it's even, if this game sounds like it's going to be a Microsoft exclusive. They're talking about using cloud technology and all that kind of stuff. Who knows? We'll definitely have more to talk about that when we actually know what the game is that they're working on. But
has Kojima ever worked on two games at once? Because we've got Overdose. Norman Reedus apparently leaked that they were working on Death Stranding 2, or it was coming at least. And now we have, so I don't know if this is two or three projects, but number one, it strikes me that, you know, the studio's gotten pretty big, but number two, has he ever worked on two games at once? Because this is a guy who loves to have control, full control.
Yeah.
He wants to, you know, have his feet in the music camp. He wants to have his feet in all the art and the gameplay and that kind of stuff. So I wonder what that's going to be like, or I wonder what that is like.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think I got this from Chris Reagan, actually. He made a point that, I think it was Chris, all Norman Reedus said was, we're working on the second one now. And I was wondering, like, did that necessarily mean we're working on Death Stranding 2, or did that mean we're working on the second game together now? So maybe he's working on up to three projects, or maybe he's only working on two and Norman Reedus is going to be in one of them.
Right.
That's also a possibility. So who knows?
I mean, honestly, it's also very possible. I know mocap is a very long and drawn out process, but like it is a very long and drawn out process. So that doesn't mean that we're getting a game for the next 3 years, maybe, from Norman Reedus, you know? So I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of speculation, but we're definitely getting something good from him and everyone's going to be better off for it. So,
yep.
I wanted to mention briefly, and we can kind of zip through these, you know, a few more here, but, that Sea of Thieves, it's not getting a lot of love out there. And I understand that it's not a new game. It's not a game that a lot of people who watch these showcases, whatever.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
But they did reveal season 7, and they talked about some stuff that I think it went under the radar because a lot of people who aren't familiar with the game don't know this. But like, basically, there's a lot of stuff in the game that's coming to the game that's going to be like role playing related. And this is not necessarily that appealing to me because I'm somebody who likes to get on a ship, buy 50 cannonballs from the vendor and go out and sink other people. But for the people who play the game,
toxic gamer.
Yeah, for real.
Dude, you're so freaking toxic.
The people who play the game for like the experience of being a pirate, of role playing, of going and digging up treasures and stuff, like the fact that you're going to be able to like name your own ship, you're going to be doing different customizations. I got to be careful here what I know from insider knowledge and what I know from the announcement, but there's some stuff that is going to be really, really cool. They did mention that you're going to be able to sell all of your stuff to the sovereigns, which, you know, they haven't exactly spelled out what that is yet, but that's definitely a feature that people have been asking for. A lot of the stuff that they're putting out is stuff people have been asking for. And I don't know that this is necessarily going to be like, hey, now's the time to try the game. But the people who have been playing for a long time and the people who played and left, this is something that's going to draw those people back in. So it's definitely going to push least retain things.
Am I hearing that you're saying there's going to be more of a, so the reason why it hasn't gravitated with me is because it's very tough to play the game alone. Is what you just said going to change that?
No, I think the basic mechanics of the game are going to stay the same.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. But as far as like, so what, sorry, what did I say that made you think that? I missed it.
Role playing stuff.
Yeah. Oh, what I mean by role playing is like being able to name your ship and decorate it and have loadouts for it and being able to do different voyages that might be a little bit more role play. But it's the basic structure of the game, I don't think is going to change. But the things that like, if you want to get on a pirate ship with three of your buddies and talk like pirates and make people walk the plank and kill evil skeletons and shit like that and dig up treasures, like it's going to make that experience more fun, in my opinion, of being able to like, oh, we're sailing on the SS duty head ship or like, you know, whose ship do we want to take today? OK, we're going to take Jimmy's ship and it's going to be, ship number 4 of his. Like just being able to do those things where you're basically branding the session in a different way. Got and it. Enabling okay. like have decorations around the ship and like, oh, well, I'm making things up at this point, but I've defeated a bunch of Megs and now I have a Megs trophy that you can go and look in the back of my ship and see that I've defeated all these like things like that, that again, aren't that meaningful for me in the way I play the game. But for some people who play that game in order to be a pirate, in order to go out and have an adventure, I think it's going to enhance that experience a lot.
Yeah, dude, RP is huge. GTA really kind of pushed this into the stratosphere bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if more games, more multiplayer games like this, implement things very similar to this. Whenever you can create a personal connection to something in game and make it yours.
Yeah.
It's just about role playing. That's
right.
That's really what it's about. And I feel like this game lends really well to that. So that's actually good. I'm glad the community is really good. I mean, from what Ben said and from what I've seen personally, this is just really good for the community. So,
yeah. Brandon, you said you were kind of out of stuff to talk about. Dave, I want to give you an opportunity. Is there any like one or two more games that you were really excited about seeing?
No, I think I talked about the heavy hitters. I think just to wrap it up for me, I think, you know, Keeley and the Xbox stuff, they kind of said temper your expectations. There's not going to be a whole lot of new stuff announced, but we're going to give you a lot of gameplay. And I think they delivered on that promise. So
yeah,
overall, it was a great week. I really like that we're talking about stuff that is coming like soon, not like,
right,
here's a title card that for a game that might come out in 2.5 years. So
right.
Yeah, I think overall it was good. I really enjoyed it. Yep.
I just had a couple other things to highlight. Gotham Knights, they got some new trailers and the characters for that and some gameplay. I just think that game continues to look really cool. I'm still not 100% certain exactly what it is, but I think it's going to be fun. Naraka Blade Point. Is it Blade Point? What is it? Something like that. Yeah, Naraka Blade Point. That's been out already on PC for a while, but it's basically like a I'm trying to think of the word, battle royale. It's a battle royale. That's just really cool looking. You're not dealing with a bunch of guns. You do have ranged weapons and stuff. And that's coming then now to Game Pass, which will, it'll be on PC and console. So I didn't check it out just because I was like, I don't need another living game that I have to, that I'm going to buy and end up, you know, sinking a bunch of hours into. But if it's on Game Pass, I'll definitely at least check it out, if not get sucked into it, honestly. And those are kind of the things that, that hit for me. Obviously, like, I thought both shows were good. I didn't think both shows were perfect, nor did I expect them to be. There were highs and lows to each show. And of course, there's a ton of other stuff that was talked about. Oh, we didn't mention they did reveal in the Summer Games Fest showcase that Last of Us Part Two has sold over 10 million copies, which is lower than I would have expected, but still enough to make a bunch of money.
Yeah. It's not for everybody. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. The one other thing that I wanted to mention, just to make a correction from last week, this isn't really a correction on our part, but apparently we talked about the fact that Battlefield 2042, they were going to abandon it. EA has basically denied that now. That was a rumor, apparently. So I wanted to clarify that just because we said it. But I mean, come on, they should just abandon it at this point. Start working on something that's going to actually be good.
In quotes, we're not, in quotes, abandoning it.
Brandon, what have you been playing?
Honestly, man, I hate to kind of go back to this, but I've been playing Elden Ring again.
Yeah,
I started my, which will be my fifth character. I haven't played through all of it. I played through it twice, and I'm about to do a third full playthrough. But it's been amazing. I leaned really, really heavy. My buddy Kevin bought it with me. He bought it and I already had it. But
yeah,
a lot of co-op, man. A lot of invasions. It's been frustrating at points, but it offers a completely different experience. It makes me see a future where the multiplayer can be somewhat normal in these games.
Sure.
I'm even seeing mods coming out that allow for normal multiplayer. So I know the functionality can be achieved.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that I would need a PC with mods to do that. But nonetheless, when I'm summoned in, we can't ride horses, but we have fun nonetheless. So
yeah, I was going to ask, are you guys doing a lot of walking?
Yeah, honestly, what ends up happening is I'm like, hey, I'm going to save you some hassle.
Yeah.
You can summon me in later. Just ride your horse through this poison swamp so you don't have to pop about a million fucking poison potions.
I meant to say in last week's Dreams and Shoutout segment, my shoutout was supposed to be for that we've reached that phase of the FromSoft release where most of the coverage on this game is just people doing ridiculous challenge runs. Yeah. Like I saw one mod where every enemy in the game was Melania. I've seen other people beat the entire game only using butt stomps or waterfowl and stuff like that. So yeah. I love how like the trajectory of every FromSoft game goes like everybody's like batshit crazy about exploring all the stuff and beating the game. And then there's the speed runs and then the challenge runs and all the mods and that stuff. Right. So it's really fun. Even though I'm done with the game for now, it's really fun to see this stuff.
Yeah, I forgot we used to do Dreams of a shout out at the end of every show.
Yeah, man. but no, it's been so much fun and a completely different experience playing it almost entirely co-op. So
yeah, that's cool.
Really, really great. And honestly, I think that's about it. I did dabble a little bit more with No Man's Sky, but really just some more Elden Ring. I hate to be boring, but that's about it, boys.
That's all right. Play what you want to play. Dave.
So I've been playing Dishonored. I started the show talking about Arcane and
we play nothing but the newest games here. Okay.
No, I've been going through this phase of just like popping into games and checking them out for a bit and see what's sticking. And this week I popped into Dishonored. I'd never played the games when they first came out, and I thought it was time. And you know, I've sort of grown out of stealth since like Metal Gear Solid 3. I kind of dropped off because I had many years when I was younger where all I played were stealth games, Metal Gear Solid, Splinter Cells, all that kind of stuff, Ghost Recon. But yeah, it's kind of fun to go back to one that really isn't that old, but just the amount of player freedom you're given, and you look at, you know, when you take on something like that, like you can't just use player freedom to approach, you know, assassinating somebody or planting some evidence is just a buzzword. Like when you really look at like the level design of games like that, it really kind of blows you away the shit that they had to think of. So also I think Blink is probably one of the coolest abilities in video games. Like that is so cool to just like zip across the map and like nobody sees you and stuff. So
right,
yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'll probably finish it, but like it's taken me so long to get through the game because I forgot that things like save scumming existed. So now that I'm using save scumming, hopefully I'll finish it by December. But yeah, I kind of want to like I don't know if I'll play through all the DLC and stuff, but I do want to see the story to the end and play the second one. And then maybe check out Prey. Like I might get on a bit of an arcane tip here. So yeah, Dishonored, it's on Game Pass and I'm having a good time with it.
Nice. Yeah. Dave, it's funny you said that it's not exactly that old of a game. And I was like, yeah, it's only a few years old. And I just looked it up and it came out in 2012. So we're old as hell.
God damn.
10 years old.
Yeah.
Are you fucking
serious? It's aged pretty well too. Because I mean, I started watching some videos on it before I started playing. And I'm like, oh, this looks like dog shit. But when you actually get into it and see the movement and it's obviously upgraded a little bit for the Series S, it did age pretty well. So
nice. It's
I don't feel like I'm playing a 10-year-old game. So
nice. Yeah. For me, I've just been pretty much spending, I'm trying to think here, did I play anything before this? For the most part, I've been playing No Man's Sky.
Ooh,
and wait. I think I said this earlier, but I only played like maybe 5 or 6 hours of it when it originally came out, or actually not when it originally came out, several years after that. And the Skyrim talk got me interested. And so I jumped in with my buddy Justin, and I've just been having a hell of a time in a good way. And for me, when I see a game that comes out and I'm like, oh, there's mining and there's crafting, I'm like, I cannot play the game or it will consume me. Brandon knows when. Well, first of all, I played literally thousands of hours of Minecraft back in like 2010.
Oh, yeah.
And then I gave it up cold turkey. You know, it was an addiction I had to break.
You had to.
And then a couple of years ago, Brandon and some of our other friends were like, hey, we're gonna play Minecraft, you want to play? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll play. And then just like a bad heroin addiction, I didn't stop playing it for months. And actually I think
my wife left me, I lost my job.
So No Man's Sky, I don't quite feel that same pull at this point like I did to Minecraft. And okay, here's the thing,
just wait,
I'm not someone who's going to go and like build gigantic cities in Minecraft. I will just get the craziest amount of pickaxes you could imagine and just mine for hours without ever having any goal in mind. That's the kind of psychopath I am. So anyway, No Man's Sky, I'm really enjoying it. I don't think there's a whole lot to say about it that most people haven't said. The first night I played it, it was running really poorly on my computer. And then the next night it was like almost totally fine. Of course, the game isn't perfect, but even past that, I think I was having some issues. So I don't know what my deal was, if it was just me or if it was the actual game, but I'm enjoying it. I'm playing it and probably will keep playing it. Coming up for next week, I'll be talking about you'll be playing The Quarry. So I'll probably start that tomorrow sometime and we'll see how that goes.
Do you have it on PC?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's on PC. That's it, man. That's it for the show,
that's
guys.
That's fucking it, man.
That's it. An hour and 1 minute to talk about all the things that happened this weekend and what we've been playing. I mean,
that's not
what
bad.
More can you ask for?
Not too
a
bad.
A longer show? No.
Hell no.
again, remember, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/handsomephantom. We do really appreciate your support over there. And we do really appreciate it when people comment in the Discord. We actually take what you say to heart. We like hearing things, not just about what we're talking about, but feedback on the show in general. You telling us all how great we are and attractive we are, that we really appreciate that too. So feel free to keep doing that. But yeah, appreciate it. Thank you guys. Other than that, I think we're all done, boys.
That's right.
All right.
Thank you. Hiccups are gone, right?
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, he licked his dog, so he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
The HP Podcast is supported by our patrons over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. Jason Canham, Toby Ryland, Chaz Peterson, Edward Walton, Josh Cummings, Jared, Boots, Fusebro, Passive Pixels Edwin Castillo, Maurice Bays, and H-Trons.